University.
Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, URN's comedy news show, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. I'm Ella Vajinska. I'm joined, as ever, by Abby Houseman.
Hello.
And self-proclaimed, not self-proclaimed, woman of mystery, Rebecca.
Hello.
I still love how much she hates it, and I'm never going
to
stop.
Part of me dies a little bit more every single time.
Just adds
until
to the mystery.
You get to be the host of Extra Extra, and then you inflict it on other people, and that is how this works.
Yeah, it's just how
that's the hierarchy of this show.
Eternal cycle of bullying. Excellent.
It's very much the spirit of Extra Extra. It's not.
It's
We're
not.
An inclusive and welcoming environment.
Yes.
Yes.
Even though it's just us three. But that's fine.
Yeah, I don't want anyone else in it. Not an idiot.
Nah.
We're here to take you through the biggest news stories of the week. And starting for us today, who has come under a great deal of criticism after skirting the issue?
This is Tory MP Chris Shope from Christchurch in Dorset. Basically, there was a proposal to put forward a law to ban upskirting, because at the moment there isn't a law in English law to ban that. The police won't bring charges against someone.
For the benefit of people who don't know, what is upskirting?
It's basically where a woman will be wearing a skirt, normally without tights, and people take photos. They sneak up and take photos of under their skirts, basically. It's normally not witnessed because they're trying to be sneaky about it. And it's something that happens. It happens to celebrities from like the paparazzi and stuff, but it also happens to like people just out and about trying to enjoy their lives, which is why Gina Martin, who was a victim of this, has basically been campaigning since last year to get this law through. Everyone was pretty much sold that it was going to go through. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fine. It's going to be a thing. Friday, yes, banned. Because it's already banned in Scotland. It's been banned since 2010.
It's almost like Scotland are just a better country than we are.
It's almost like they're kind of thinking about this. Someone made the point that men wear skirts in Scotland. So that might also have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Until someone pointed out that they were kilts.
Famously without much underneath.
Yeah.
But kilting doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No, it's a little more jaunty.
What do you call it? This is a daft question, I realise. What do you call it when, like, you take a dilapidated house and you renovate it? Upscale. Thank you. Sorry.
That's better than what I was going to suggest. I heard you said renovate. I was like, genuinely the only word I can think of is just renovate.
people call it flipping a house in America. You take a house,
turn it upside down.
Yeah, and you put it, the roof's at the bottom, it's all crazy. No, they that's what they call, like, you take an old house, you renovate it all, and then you sell it on for a profit. That's called flipping a house.
Oh, right.
It's like people do it with furniture, where they take something that's like antique.
Upcycling is the word.
Upcycling, that's not upscaling, not upskirting. Upcycling, thank you, Abby.
See, we not only provide the news, we also provide dictionary definitions.
Yeah. Upcycling is not illegal.
And no.
In fact, encouraged.
Correct.
Yes. Because
it's
not
part
like
of
upskirting,
the...
which is bad.
Very bad. Yeah. I think we can all agree, apart from apparently Tory MP Chris Chope, who when
I love that you keep calling him Chris, because in the news, like in every article I've read, it's like Sir Christopher, and Abby's like, no, does not deserve a title.
Demoted.
He's just Chris.
He's just Chris now.
It's like Chris from the block.
He's like it out with Jenny. And
you should. He better not be. Who knows what he's up to. So they expect to sail through the Commons, and then at the last possible moment he called object, which means it's blocked until another vote can be held. He, however, has been surprised by the uproar, apparently.
And uproar, again, different from upskirt.
Yes. Different from downroar, which is very quiet lions,
it's
presumably.
It's different from a lot of words. Are we going to spend this entire episode describing words that are different from upskirting? Because I think we're going to be here a long time and I don't think we're going to cover many subjects.
Well, this is the Lemony Snicket version of Extra Extra.
I would like to say that the joke surrounding the context of uproar comes from the fact they both start with the word up as a prefix. I'm not going to explain every word, Rebecca, because that...
We're getting dangerously close to it. This is going to open a door.
But I'm very tempted now that you've said that to just do it.
Look what you've started.
It, a word which is different from upskirt.
We are truly lost.
Another word which is different from upskirt.
I'm going to carry on and we'll see how far I get into this sentence.
A word that is different from upskirt.
He has since said that he supports the ban and that he's not a dinosaur, and that he's shocked at the accusations that he might be doing something illicit that has come out of this. And he's said basically what he was objecting to was not the ban itself, but that the government has been hijacking time that is rightfully that of backbenchers. This is about who controls the House of Commons on Fridays, and that's where I'm coming from.
So he's trying to object to the fact that they're wasting time by wasting time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, Chris. Wow.
He has since said, we don't quite live in the Putin era yet. Demonstrably, we kind of do if you look at Russia. But, like, he's clearly the good guy in this situation, guys. Obviously.
It's just a waste of time. Just...
It is.
I don't know.
Do you want me to prove how much of a good guy he is by looking into some of his history? He voted against equal marriage, against the minimum wage, he wants to abolish it entirely, against equal pay transparency, and against the Turing pardon. In the MP's expenses scandal, he claimed £136,992, including £881 to fix a sofa. So, you know, we've all been there.
The more I hear about this guy, the more I like him.
The more I think maybe he's got a point.
Yeah.
Because there are times when, yes, you should maybe uphold some, like, certain rules for the House of Commons. But if you're literally just trying to get a bill through that is a no-brainer, and it would be, thinking from a publicity point of view, would be amazing for, like, the Tory party image. It'd really help them. Mm-hmm. And he's just gone, no. I'm in the right here, guys.
Maybe it almost shows that there's a problem within the party itself.
Maybe. Maybe we shouldn't trust a 71-year-old to come up with laws against upskirting that affect women quite directly. Men in kilts.
I'd like to throw into the conversation. I've done my trademark quick Google of the politician I've never really heard of.
Ella's weekly quick Google.
I love this segment. Feature. Last week we discovered that David Davis' wife also had a name beginning with D. I got very excited, hoped all their children would. I'd like to say that Chris Chope's wife is called Christine, and I like the idea that they're both called Chris for short.
That's their ship name. Their ship name is Chris.
We're just going to have the Chris's over for tea.
How boring his life is, as well as sitting in Parliament blocking bills he doesn't need to for literally no reason. He has married someone with the same name as him.
He's a member of Parliament for Christchurch as well.
Yeah.
Chris. Say what you will about his politics. He has got a fabulous online personal brand.
His branding is spot on.
The Chris brand.
Because you can have everything in the same house style. Solid.
You'd have the trademark font, and the Chris bit would be bold or like a different colour.
Yeah.
And then the tag
probably
on
a
word.
Blue.
Yes. I'm thinking maybe like a blue and white colour scheme.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, maybe white middle-aged man, obviously.
Yeah.
And, like, the Chris bit would be one colour, and then he'd add on the extra letters.
I'm sorry
for the rest of the word.
For Christine, who's now going to have half of her name in block blue. Half of her name. She's like, can I have a lot of my name?
Your wife's name. You can't. I mean, there's a lot of things he's doing wrong, but if we're gonna point out some of the issues in his marketing,
like,
I will
darling,
not let him.
It's for the branding. And she's like, but I'm just sending her, like, a letter to Jenny, who's halfway down the block. Obviously, as we previously discussed. And he's like, no, it must be in all... I've bought the labels. Please use them.
It's like she's just going to be saying that, like, oh, you already made us pay, what was it, £800 to fix a sofa?
Yeah, I wouldn't
know.
Now
I've got to pay to get my name changed.
I want to know what they did to that sofa. Like, what happened?
Let's not open that door.
That's not what Chris Squared has been...
Chris Squared. What were the Chris's doing on this sofa?
£800 of damage.
Probably spilt an expensive bottle of port and paid to get it removed.
Like the
like
entirely
extracted from the fabric. I wouldn't be surprised if that was what it was.
Mm. It's
I'm just reading it. Like the someone has very kindly updated his Wikipedia page to also include the whole upskirting scandal. Upskirting here means exactly the same as upskirting. if anyone was wondering, scandal does not mean the same. And you know, it's this idea that. His objection was to parliamentary procedure rather than to the bill itself.
Yeah.
Why did he pick this be able to do it. I mean,
that's the thing.
Say what you will about his brand, which I've already said, you know, cracking. But
the timing of
That this is something that, as you say, would have done such a good thing. I mean, wouldn't work miracles.
No,
but it would improve, like, the Tories' image.
Yeah. It would have been a win for them that they could go back and to and such, go, look, we've done
it's
this.
It's such an, for want of a better word, easy build to have passed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No one is objecting to people being punished for scandally taking pictures of women's underwear.
Violating people's privacy.
Well, yeah, it's like, straight up harassment.
It's, like, of course, yeah. Already been put through in Scotland, so they've got the like kind of they can point to Scotland to go look, it works for them,
they know it works and they know it's a good idea, so why? I mean, he's really shot himself in the foot by...
I mean, why? What could possibly be the reason for this? Like, it might also be something to do with the fact it was a Lib Dem MP, I believe, who brought forward the measure.
Mm-hmm.
People from all of the parties have called him out on this, basically saying that he's been an embarrassment and that he's using something that shouldn't really be used for political points.
Yeah.
As like...
I mean, well, he's got us talking about him, I suppose.
He does.
He's and promoted the Chris brand, as Ella would say. But,
and about the upskirting issue, which has also annoyed loads of journalists because they had loads of articles ready to publish on Friday, Saturday, going,
look at what's
just happened. And they're like, oh, God, the copy editing on this.
We've got to complain about another Tory again. You'll have, like, it'll just be like a generic... kind of
template
now, yeah. Like a generic template for every single time in Parliament they try to make a good breakthrough, they try to make some progressive reform, and some old Tory man's just like, nah, no, my rights.
Tory MP,
yeah,
insert name here, has done something,
has done X,
insert thing here. Why? Just block capitals.
Yeah.
And Chris is there going, that's my font. That block capitals, that is my trademark.
They haven't put my name in bold.
I have not.
I paid £800 for that.
The little TM next to it. They're like, excuse me, can you change all these, please? It has been announced that Theresa May is going to push through this bill quicker. After the uproar, I did watch a bit of her talking to Andrew Marr about it, but so he read out the list of things that he'd opposed and went, why did you give him a knighthood 6 months ago? And she immediately avoids that question and goes, but we did pass through those bills. And I'm like, yeah, but not because of him. Mm-hmm. He was nothing to do with it, so why is he being lauded as like a knight of the realm?
I found a picture of him with Margaret Thatcher and it explains so much.
So that's the exact reason.
Also, it's exactly the same.
She's just standing up to her role as Thatcher too, but yeah, no.
So this picture must have been taken in the 70s, where he was born in 47.
Let's
so he must be in his, like, what, mid to late 30s there.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed dramatically.
I mean, he's 71 now.
I wonder what moisturiser he's using. It's clearly working.
He's invented time travel.
Finally, we found one. Oh dear, oh no, it's the wrong one.
Oh, we don't want the Tories to have the power of time travel.
No.
Oh, they've already brought back the 70s to now.
Our political situation.
Satire.
Air horns, please and
thank you.
Hang on.
Oh no. Glad we wasted all that time for that.
Very daytime. I don't want to talk about Chris Jope anymore. I don't think he deserves it.
No.
So,
too much time. Let's move on.
I think we should do the World Cup now.
Fine.
Of course.
Of all the annoying things I do, why is
all of them? I thought you'd call me out for something better than this.
Why is bringing up a valid news story that means a lot to many, many people all across the world?
You've made up such a thing about doing it like near the end.
Yeah,
I haven't. You have. Because you said you were going to that and then Brexit, which is at the end. We'll talk about it now. It's fine. I have no information on it.
I hate it when
what
mum
we learned
and dad
this morning
argue.
And about Mexico.
Why, what's Mexico done?
They've beaten Germany, who are defending champions. Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah, so if you weren't aware, the World Cup is on. The World Cup is to do with football.
It is indeed.
And I don't know anything about football, so this could be fun.
Yeah.
But I feel it's an important topic that we should address. I can tell you everything I know about the World Cup. It's being held in Russia.
It is. Mm-hmm. Good.
Fact.
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
I mean, football in general, they play it with a ball. Theirs and their feet, by definition. A word which here does not mean the same as upskirt. There's 11 people on each team and a variety of other people.
Extras. Understudies.
Understudies, yes, there's a variety of understudies. I think that is the correct term.
We were talking earlier, vaguely about the World Cup. We were trying to work out how...
Okay, so Abby wanted to decide on which team she was going to support.
Yeah.
We haven't watched any of the football matches.
No, not currently.
Very much, I personally, but also Abby, I know, very much rugby people.
Yeah.
Don't care about football.
So. Six Nations.
Rugby, so much more interesting. Richie Gray's there. What more do you need? That's beside the point. But really prefer the Six Nations. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll just support like some of those teams. Mm. And he was like, because like Italy, they never do well in the Six Nations. But I was like, oh, I could support their football team. They're not in the World Cup.
No.
Even though they are in the world. So...
which would enable them to be in the cup as well.
I can just imagine someone who's like into sports listening to
this. Cringing so much. Jeremy Dunn, our sports editor, is probably on the floor, like in the fetal position, going, please stop talking about this. I hate it so much.
Do you remember when I
let me talk about the World Cup. I know things.
Do you remember when I didn't know that the Super Bowl was to do with American football?
Yeah.
What did you think it was?
Baseball! Super Bowl!
Ball.
You bowl a baseball! It makes so much more sense. Chris Choate would have been able to brand it better. Anyway. Italy aren't in the World Cup,
no.
Which I thought was odd because like they're quite good at football. They won it a few years ago. Like 2004.
We're digging this hole.
We're digging
of
back
not
far.
Knowing anything
yeah,
about
that's
football.
Like when I last saw a football match. actually, that's a lie. I had a France 2014 t-shirt. Italy won. I've spelt the wrong four times now. Italy won the World Cup. 2004, 2008, I'm sure it was. 2006.
Okay, then.
If you take the average of the two years, I suggest it.
We're good at maths, okay?
Italy aren't in the World Cup.
No.
So I asked Abby while eating some poached eggs this morning, because that's
very civilised morning we've had.
Indeed. Why Italy weren't in the World Cup? Because I was like, how do they decide who are the people who do, like, who get to the stage where they can be in the World Cup to decide who goes into the World Cup?
Yeah.
Because it's like these group stages at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah.
I know things. There are charts.
love a good table.
Of course. So I was like, why aren't Italy in the World Cup? Abby, why aren't Italy in the World
Cup?
So
there are 32 teams that compete. The hosting nation gets in automatically. So Russia's in it automatically. So
yay, they Russia.
31.
Well done.
To decide the other 31 teams, the world is basically split up into different federations controlled by FIFA. You basically play the other teams over the 4 years.
Sounds like a dystopian world.
Yeah,
over the next...
It's great!
Over the 4 years in between each World Cup, you play the other teams in your little federation. They decide a certain number based on, I think, how many nations you have competing, mm-hmm. how many... of that number get to go to the World Cup. So some have five, some have three. One had none. I'm sorry for the Oceanic.
The New Zealand area, none got three.
Yeah. But Australia isn't part of that. They're part of the Asian Federation. And so they're
Australia,
through.
A famous part of Asia.
Yeah.
Well, it's close enough, I think. There's probably more politics to it than I know.
All right.
I'm just going...
We'll set Chris Chope on it. He's great at politics.
Nails it.
Done so good so far. Maybe Boris can come back. That'd be great. He's meant to know about...
The world.
and so, yeah. And then, basically, that's how they decide who is in the World Cup.
I'm really disappointed, Abby, that you haven't used my favourite word. Not upskirt. That would be weird. when Abby was talking me through this morning, she kept saying they had tournaments.
They did.
I like the idea that rather than playing football...
The initial
like
rounds.
Jousting.
Like a tourney.
Yeah, like they've got... Someone's there with a mace. They all, like, dress up. Like at Lincoln Castle, where you go and see, like, the knights fight.
Because it also involves, like, horse riding and things, which I think could be really...
So I think, like...
Extra skills.
Because I think it would be very easy to improve football. Again...
By putting less football in.
Horses, maces and spears.
Actually, now that I've said it, yes... But my initial idea, go with me on this.
I'm going
to pitch it to FIFA one day. Football match happens. It begins. Yeah. You've got 11 people on each team and one ball. Uh-huh. That's not exciting.
No.
Like, for 5 minutes, that's fine. 90 minutes, are you kidding me?
Yeah, true.
What happens? Every 10 minutes, a player from each team comes off, an extra ball goes on. So by the end of it, you've hardly got any players, but there are balls everywhere.
Yeah.
No, and then, like, for like the last 5 minutes, all the teams go on, so you get like 16 players on each team.
Oh, yes!
And it's chaos.
All the substitutes as well.
The substitutes. Let's all use the technical term here, please.
But yeah.
And then for penalties, you get the person who's going to take the penalty.
Yeah.
And like at the moment, they just sort of run up to the ball and they kick the ball, and then the drama's on, like, oh, which way is it going to go? Goalkeeper jumps. Yeah. That's all it is.
That was an eloquent explanation of a penalty goal kick, by the way.
I could be a football commentator.
Easily.
What you do instead, you have one of those like inflatable obstacle courses, and the player has to run that while like the other team are like throwing things at him.
Like Total Wipeout.
Yeah.
But, FIFA.
And then they have to kick the ball.
I would quite like it. Either that,
or
you
so
get
much more exciting.
You get points for like flair. So if you know in bowling where you can like you either bowl it normally or like people like lie on the floor and like push the ball down or they throw it in between their knees and stuff. I quite like to see some like maybe some tricks.
Well, they like do it for the public cred, don't they? People do pull stupid stunts and like lie across the floor sometimes when they've scored. So
that's the celebration.
That famous goal score of lying on the floor.
That's
like
my technique.
And they have that's the whole, like, I'm done for the day, lads.
Yeah. I've done my bit.
Within 5 minutes, they've thrown another ball on one of the players off. I just want to lie on the floor.
I just think it's such a boring game. Like, I know people love it, and I respect them for loving it, because, my God, they put a lot of effort into not a lot. That is 90 minutes of... And, like, often in 90 minutes, nothing happens. No one scores. You've got 22 men being paid a heck of a lot of money, unless you're Iceland, just running around a field.
Oh, did anyone...
Near a ball.
Did anyone see how excited the commentator for that Icelandish team...
Icelandic.
How excited
that
the
is another word that is not like upskirt.
Correct.
Because it's not a real word.
It's not, no. The commentator for the Icelandic team got so excited when Iceland scored their first World Cup goal ever.
Oh, bless
them. Did they not score the last one? Where was it when they did the...
What? I'm pretty sure it was like their first...
Was that the World Cup? Was that Euros?
I think it must have been Euros. Yeah, because... this guy was
are they doing that at the World Cup? I'm so much more invested if the Icelandic team are doing the clappy thing.
They didn't do that. Like, so I watched this clip because it was just like, listen to the commentator. He was the most excited I've ever seen anyone. And all it did also, it like made them, it pulled them up to a draw with the team they were playing against. So it's not like it was a winning point. But this team, they were going absolutely mental.
Well, because they're just like there's regular people who are like, I need some time off work. Right, well, I'm going to the World Cup, so I'll book a couple of weeks off, and if not, I'll just have a nice holiday.
Yeah. So, but like, for that, it's exciting, but no.
It's been exciting as well, because Mexico beat Germany yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a surprise. Like, no one expected that. And Mexico, the people of Mexico celebrated so much that they're... basically their celebrations picked up on an earthquake meter. Like, they're on the Richter scale.
Do you think that's what the Lincolnshire one was last week?
They were just so excited.
So excited about, like, because Lincoln City is a rubbish football team, but they keep doing, like, surprisingly well.
Uh-huh. And so maybe that caused it. Maybe it was just a moment of pure joy. But I quite like that. I like the fact that it was, like, loud enough. And like, so because Germany are the defending champions as well, so this was completely unexpected.
Yeah, even I know that's big stuff.
Big stuff.
Yeah.
See, we've got some knowledge. We're getting there.
Mm-hmm. The last World Cup, we hadn't started uni.
Oh.
Wait, which year was the last World Cup?
Okay, right, so the World Cup happens every four years, Rebecca.
So cast your minds back.
It's 2014.
If only I were wearing my France t-shirt that has it written across the chest.
I can't believe I just asked that. That was one of the most stupid things I've done in quite a while. Then again, probably not. Anyway.
Where are you going?
Can we move on, please? I feel quite stupid.
I quite like you to just carry on with this link that we're doing.
Trailing off into the fact that I don't know when the years are.
when the years are.
No.
I mean, it's all that they keep changing, isn't it, really? Like, you just get used to one.
I'm just going to score a goal and lie on the floor.
And can all move
on. Oh, mate, you're not even close to scoring a metaphorical goal
yet. I'm just going to lie on the floor then, Ella. Is that what you want to hear?
Football would be way more interesting if people decided, well, I'm not having a good time, and they just sit down, like, angrily, like toddlers, like their arms folded.
It's the equivalent of the sat-nav, isn't it?
What? It's better have a good explanation because there's absolutely no link whatsoever. This is like you tried to link words to upskirt just because they're different.
Okay, in hindsight, I could have vocalised more of that because that made perfect sense. Sat navs are unrealistic. Because
they've just got such big dreams, and I just don't think they're thinking about their 5-year plan. Really,
they're all focused on the destination and not the journey.
She's literally their one job, so you'd think they'd be better at it.
Sat navs, I think, should be programmed so that if you ignore them for long enough, like if the sat nav is going in 300 yards, turn right. And the driver goes, thank you. I have certain skills. They don't come up in many conversations. That's why I just try to keep steering things towards sat-nav. If it said, like, turn right, and you're like, no, I know where I'm going. Go straight on or whatever. If you ignored it long enough, if it were a passenger, they would go, fine, well, you just do it. You do. You drive. I don't need to be here. And they'd sit in silence and sulk. I think sat-nav should do that.
But what about if you're just... How would it know that you were ignoring it for long enough? And you weren't just... You didn't need it at the other end of the journey.
I didn't say I was going to, like, do it myself. I'm just the ideas person.
Okay.
Golly. But my point is, footballs would be better if it were like that, where if someone was like, right, well, we're not doing very well, fine, I'm just going to sulk. I'm just going to sit down. And, like, everyone had to go, oh, poor Messi, he looks sad.
Oh, poor Messi. What's happened? I love that his name's Lionel as well.
Has adorable odd socks.
And he was really upset.
He was.
These are the things that regularly go wrong.
Yeah. Well, footballers are really superstitious.
Mm.
Are they? But,
yeah. It's a bit like theatre people. Like, they have certain rituals. You know, like, you're lucky. Oh, no,
you know what? I would say footballers are more superstitious than theatre people.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
they
don't have a like a thing that they can't say while on the pitch, though.
Okay,
like while performing it.
But they have, I would say, they have more rituals of things that have to be done like before the game. Like certain people only will have to put like a sock on one foot, and then put the boot on, and then put a sock on the other foot, and then put the boot on. They have to do it in like exactly the same order because the last time they did it in that way, they won a match or they scored a goal rooted in these like ritual things. Mm-hmm.
Did you just suggest sock boot?
Yeah.
That's... No.
I can't remember who it is. It's really annoying, but there is a footballer who does that.
Oh, dear. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go into it, but...
You want another fun fact?
Yes.
I knew more about football than I thought.
See, look at this. We're changing this to the football podcast.
Anyone who actually knows about sport is going, she's a moron. But I'm like, no. Frank Lampard, good old Frankie Lamps, has a star in GCSE Latin and makes up names for his teammates. In Latin.
Was that what they told you on your first day of your part Latin degree? They were like, don't worry, guys, you're really hip and cool because Frank Lampard's on it.
Listen to this, like, one famous person who did Latin.
They've got like the slideshow of like what people have gone on to do with a Latin degree. And there's Frank Lampard there like, hey, I did an A-level, which is kind of, it's the first stage.
Did GCSE, mate.
GCSE, sorry. Sorry, Frank. I'm overestimating your Latin there.
No, it was on a league of their own. That's how I know all my sporting knowledge.
Yeah. We're taking it from a game show.
A game show.
That is comedy-based.
Yes. The point is, as soon as League of Their Own cover the World Cup, I'll be a damn expert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just hang in there, guys.
We'll just watch it myself, but I don't have 90 minutes. It's just so boring. And it's like an interval.
Half-time. But the curtain comes down and everyone's like, oh, that was lovely. Oh, that would be amazing if everyone came back with like little pots.
Yeah, you know.
I feel like I was going so well and then I was just...
Did you know that I used to play football?
What am I doing this description there?
Because I'm not an expert.
I found it really funny.
But yeah, no, I used to play defence for Halsham St Margaret's Girls for a number of years.
At primary school, I played a bit and then played until like year 8, but I gave up because I got too scared. I just kept being put in goals. I was like, chubby one.
Oh,
like, yeah, thank you.
We... Right, let's move on to the news.
Yeah, sorry.
Although I would like to say congratulations to us all for not being complete idiots until the interval comment.
That was quite funny.
We knew more about the World Cup than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So, lovely.
Well done, us.
While we're on the topic of various countries around the world.
Indeed.
Which country have decided to rebrand themselves?
Yeah, this is my...
I will say, I'm sure it's they are putting it across as a rebrand.
this is Macedonia. They are changing the name of their country to the Republic of North Macedonia after a three decades long dispute with Greece.
That's a long title. The name.
It's going to be difficult to fit on a flag, but the reason for this is that Greece has argued that Macedonia's name, which was chosen after the breakup of the former Yugoslavia, meant it was implying it had a claim on the northern Greek province that is also called Macedonia. So they have agreed after a long time to change their name. This dispute has blocked Macedonia's entry to both NATO and the EU, so are hoping that this will help them get into those organisations. Mm-hmm. The two countries' leaders have signed a deal about it, but it still needs both the government's approval and a referendum in Macedonia for the people to agree to this. It's already encountered complications as the Macedonian president is refusing to sign the deal, has to go back through parliament, and then he's kind of obligated to go, yeah, no, this is fine. And it's still got to go through the Greek parliament, where they're going to face quite a lot of... because they've had to kind of scale down their demands for this. It's expected to have some pushback from that. However, what I quite like about this story is that the BBC News coverage of the signing ceremony, they said it looked like a wedding, which is fitting into a sort of extra theme of, like, leaders... Love Island,
the rom-com-esque-ness.
Mm-hmm. And they've put an elderly man in the audience, nodded and smiled. This is Matthew Nimetes, the UN mediator who has spent a quarter of a century trying to find a solution acceptable to both countries. And he's so close for this finally to be a thing. And yet so far, because it's got to go through a referendum. And as we know from this country, referendums can not always end as you expect them to.
Yeah.
Why is he in charge? Sorry, I just Googled him in
the politics, Ella. That's
second
why.
Feature of Ella Googles. He's an American diplomat.
Presumably because then he doesn't have any sort of European connections, and therefore, I don't know whether or not you want an actual funny answer or a real one, but you're getting a real one. I presume it's because
I'm going to read through his Wikipedia page.
American, and therefore doesn't have any, neither country can go, well, you're clearly biased towards one side or the other.
Oh, he went to Balliol College in Oxford.
Lovely. I'm happy for him. What did he study? Did he say?
Ooh, nope.
Hopefully, European diplomacy. Otherwise, if he did, like...
Matthew Nimetz was born on June 17th, 1939.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn, to a Jewish family. Sounds quite nice.
Do you approve of Matthew?
Oh, certainly more than Christopher Chope. Ooh, he serves as a trustee of Central European University, Budapest. He seemed like quite a stand-up guy.
You approve?
I say not knowing anything about his, like, political leanings.
We've got no idea.
His personal opinions.
All we know is
his Wikipedia page and this photo.
All we know is he really, really wants for this to stop being an issue, because he spent 25 years trying to make them stop arguing, basically.
Okay, this is... a rogue comment.
Excellent.
But if you were on board with the sat-nav thing, I think you'll go with me.
I don't think I was too on board with the sat-nav thing, but I'll go with it just for you.
So in The Princess Bride...
Yeah?
Iñigo Montoya...
Yeah?
The Spaniard, played wonderfully by Mandy Patinkin, spends 20 years training to get revenge on the six-fingered man.
Yeah.
And then, without spoiling the ending, after his mission is over... he realises he doesn't know what to do with his time and instead becomes a pirate. I feel like Matthew Nimetz is going to have the same thing. He spent 25 years trying to sort out this naming dispute.
Yeah.
What's his job going to be after it's done? He's just going to have like an empty gap in his heart.
He's gonna.
I'm not saying that he's then gonna take up piracy, but
no. But we can see a definite trajectory.
I mean, the option's gonna be there.
The paths are comparable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know whether or not the UN will just find another thing for him to go and try and work through. I guess it depends on whether or not he's just like, right, I've done this now. I would like to retire, please. Oh my God, I've been here for so long. Mm. Let me go home.
He's not prisoner of war, Abby.
No.
Good. Mm. Anything more on Macedonia, other than the fact they have some cracking Eurovision entries?
Do you want to talk about
You remember
Eurovision?
The tall hats? The tall hats and the unicycle? Macedonia. Yeah.
Cracking.
It wasn't even Macedonia with the hats, it was Moldova.
Oh.
Take it back. Useless at Eurovision. Who cares about him?
Wow.
It's all it takes for Ella to turn.
Well, on the subject of European countries, you know, this is the last show of the year. So maybe we should have some Brexit roundup.
Yes. it's still a thing, still
that's,
ongoing.
That's the spirit, Rebecca.
Yep. Got a couple of stories about Brexit this week. The main one is NHS funding. Apparently, there is going to NHS is going to receive $20 billion more in funding over the next 5 years, but we're not quite sure where the money's coming from.
But if you say it in a voice like this, no one minds.
Apparently, it's what Theresa May's been trying. It's been really weird, but sure, go for it. apparently, some of it might come from a Brexit dividend, but like out of the money that we're not spending on the EU. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of people have pointed out we've got nowhere near enough money from that to spend. And putting it into the NHS, most of that money is forecast to go back into repaying the EU and like getting us out of the European Union. So instead, Theresa May has announced today, Monday, when we're recording this, that taxes are going to go up.
How long has it taken her to realise austerity didn't like? But the fact is, like, it's not going to be spent on the public. It's not like
it'll be spent. The money's apparently going to frontline services, so that's hospitals and GPs. And Scotland and Wales are looking for an increase too, but they can kind of do what they want with the money. But then local councils who are trying to tackle like the roots of some problems, like cutting down smoking and obesity and stuff, they're like, so we're getting nothing out of this then. And she's like, yeah, pretty much. Good luck to you.
I don't trust her with it either.
I think, I mean, like, you could have just ended after her.
I don't trust her.
So funding over the next 5 years is apparently meant to go up to 3.4% on average. It's meant to be an increase, which is a good thing. The average over the entirety of the NHS's history has been at like 3.7% increasing in funding. However, those results are kind of skewed because Labour, the sort of 90s Tony Blair, Gordon Brown era, they spent...
to 2000.
Yeah. There was a 6%. That's the level that they set it at. And since the coalition government came in, it's been at less than 2%. So it's a bit like shutting the stable door after the horse has already bolted and has gone into a new field. It's a new country. It has disappeared entirely.
It's gone off to Russia playing football now.
Yeah. It's just got really excited. It thought they were playing polo. And it got a bit confused, but it's got the right spirit. So yeah, this is it's basically returning to the level that it kind of should have been at for a while. So yes,
I feel like the Tories. Well, I feel like Boris Johnson kind of shot himself and the entire party in the metaphorical foot when he commissioned a giant bus that was promising money to the NHS.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah.
I'm pleased he's in a position of power still.
Yeah, he's still... He hasn't been dismissed as an idiot yet.
Well, he has by us.
He has by us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're really the ones that matter, right?
Yes, our opinions. But don't you feel like at this point you're just kind of... We're all... I can sense it in here. We're all just so fed up of taking the mick out of Brexit because we realise it's, you know, it's actually... what we're going to have to live with.
Yeah.
And it's just like another ridiculous joke every day. It's just like another thing's announced. You're like, is this genuinely how we're living? It's like, yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Do you want another story?
Go
that
on.
Demonstrates your point.
Pile it on.
Yeah.
I've had enough at this point. I'll just...
SNP MPs also walked out of Prime Minister's questions in protest of Brexit power grab. The Westminster leader of the SNP, Ian Blackford, refused to sit down when ordered to by Speaker John Burke. Mr. Blackford was protesting the lack of debate over the devolved powers in the EU withdrawal bill. Basically, they had 3 hours to debate the bill that had come back from the House of Lords, which we talked about last week. They spent 15 minutes of that talking about what would happen with Scotland and Wales. Because, you know, that's enough time to discuss an entirely other country's, you know, involvement in this just
debacle
dumpster fire.
Do you just pronounce it debacle?
Yeah.
Proudly.
Okay.
I know it's not how it's meant to
Which
be said.
Which is different from upskirting.
Yep.
Beat me to it, Abby. I'm on it. He wanted the Commons to sit in private and debate it, which is basically where they get all the public and press out of the galleries. It's basically a way of delaying a bill. But Burko was basically like, no, you have to... He kicked them, Ian Blackford out. And in a move that was basically planned, all the SNP MPs got up and walked out and have said that this is basically like a complete breakdown in relations between Holyrood and Westminster. And he has threatened to cause trouble on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis. And because the SNP are the third biggest party in the Commons, that can actually... be really bad for trying to pass bills and things because they can obstruct votes and delay debates as much as because they've got 35 MPs as much as they can
just get Chris
deal
on
with.
The job
yeah because clearly
he'll
he's really good at
he
relations.
Does the job of an entire party. He is 35 people in one.
He has that much power now that he's finally got his Fridays back. so SNP have staged this protest walkout.
It's like unclear. The opposite of a flash mob. It's like a flash...
Leave.
Disappear.
Flash disappear. That's called an illusion. It's a magic trick.
Just go, thump. And like smoke
that
filled
would
and everyone's
great.
Like, oh no, fire. And
Scotland
cleared,
and had vanished.
Is that how it's going to happen? Is that how they're going to announce?
That's how we're going to leave the EU. There's going to be a crash, a bang, a puff of smoke and we'll vanish.
Oh my God. I was like...
Boris just chuckling in the background. It's like I had it planned all along.
Darren Brown is behind all of this.
Darren Brown.
He just wanted another TV special and
Darren Brown did Brexit.
Well, this is the
Sorry,
thing, because I don't
well,
believe...
This is the thing!
Just bear the sat nav in mind.
Laura Coombsberg, don't tell me what political relations Darren Brown has.
No. See, Darren Brown did the apocalypse special where he convinced a guy that it was the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, just... Yeah. It was so convincing for that person that I worry that if the end of the world comes and by chance zombies do take over, I'll be thinking, nah, it's just Darren Brown. And now that you've said this, which I'm sure isn't the way you expected the Brexit discussion to go, Abby.
No, but entirely.
You should have realised by now.
It was all part of the illusion.
What if none of this is real and it's just Darren Brown?
He's having a riot of a time. Him and Angela Merkel are having a right chuckle.
We're all on TV. And in like
looking for the cameras
the day that Article 50 finishes and like, you know, we're meant to leave
Surprise!
The EU, it's just Darren Brown is there and he goes, we were trying to see who were like, because he convinced people to like push a person off
a
building
room. Yeah,
like he could convince us to do anything.
It's
this
a massive
is Darren
gotcha.
It is Darren Brown.
Done.
We've revolutionised Brexit.
Cool.
No one needs to worry. I mean, you
in
do.
Case it doesn't case turn it out to be Darren Brown, maybe we should just try and do our best anyway, and then he can be very proud of us when it turns out to be him. Because we've done our best. So they SNP MPs
yes,
walked out.
Bring us back to Brexit,
just
it matters.
Just bring you in a little bit. And there's been mixed reactions. Some people have been supporting this move. Some people have said it's kind of an empty gesture at this point anyway. and that
what are we on about again?
The SNPs have walked out.
Thank you.
And
in the flash disappearance,
indeed. And some people are saying they are just using this as a ploy to drum up support for their own party. It's all part of the political machine, basically. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can actually do anything with this protest walkout, how it pans out, I guess, in the wider Brexit discussions, which Darren is running. This is his crack team.
Well, I think that sums up Brexit.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's happening at the moment. Although we will not be on air, presumably Brexit will still be ongoing. So
unless this blows the case wide open.
Yeah. Unless we're the whistleblowers.
We're on to you, Darren.
Do keep following the news on this, because unfortunately we'll not have our lovely tones to update.
Even if extra work continuing over the holidays,
keep following the news. My God,
we don't know anything.
About football, which I'm a damn expert. There's a lot of news when it comes to September. There'll be a lot of news that's happened, and we'll have to
massive catch
read
up.
It. Yeah. Wow.
Ugh, so much work.
Well, yeah, we just want to extend the window of news for the entire summer. So if it just be a really boring summer.
Yeah, can nobody touch anything. Everyone stop, everyone stop what you're doing and just pause for a bit. We all chill out for a couple of months and then September, start up again. It's fine. I will allow it.
Thank you, Abby.
I'm Darren Brown.
What a twist!
I'm the time traveller that has been plaguing Extra Extra for several weeks.
And on that bombshell, I think that brings us to the end of today's show. What an end to not only today's episode, but to a year of news.
Yeah.
And
we
started in January.
There were a lot of air quotes going on. You can't see them because this is an audio medium.
We've only just worked that out.
That is it from Extra Extra for the year. We will be back in September. Well, two of us will be potentially. Abby.
Moving on.
Gonna go join Darren Brown in the Brexit negotiations.
I am. That's where I'm headed.
Rebecca and I will be back. But so that you don't miss us too much over the holidays, on Friday we will be releasing a best of Extra Extra with some bloopers, some never before heard stories that we've discussed on the show. That will be Extra Extra colon Extra. I'm very happy with that name.
It's all she's talked about since about January.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it. Extra Extra colon Extra. I love it. It combines extra, wordplay and punctuation.
Her three loves in life.
Of course. So that'll be out on Friday. So make sure you come back to Audio Boom to check that out. For now, though, all it leaves me to do is thank Abby and Rebecca for joining me here in the studio.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you, of course, for listening to this just absolute madness. I hope you've enjoyed it half as much as I have, because honestly, this has been so much fun.
It's been good.
For now, I'm Ella Vadrinska. This has been Extra Extra. We'll see you in September. Goodbye. Okay, it's a rogue shout. Darren Brown sat-navs.
No. Oh no, because you would never trust it, would you?
Yeah. Like, it manipulates you into going. It doesn't take you where you want to go, but it takes you where you need to go.
Ooh, very like Nanny McPhee.
Or the TARDIS. Yeah.